Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here.
Chris, we are in December, man.
We're in December. This is...
The year is wrapping up.
Fast. It does not seem like we've done this long.
No, it really doesn't.
Like, we're quick approaching my first year.
And, you know, time flies when you're having fun. And yeah. Time flies a little more when you're having drinks.
Having fun drinking alcohol. Yeah. The great equalizer of man. Booze.
Truth. So it came to my attention the other day when I was posting this that, my numbering for our episodes might have been a little off. We might not have done actually 300 episodes. I might have screwed up when I initially published the first one back and the count's off. But we're calling it episode 300 because it's episode 300.
It's so. Numbered episode 300. I'm good with that.
Yeah. No.
I'm not doing the math to make a correction.
Well, the first few episodes are not available anyway. So, you know, they are what they are. And we've got an episode state. Episode 300 was episode 300, whether there were actually 300 episodes or not.
Yeah.
So, and now we're at 301.
So yes, now we're 301.
Cheers to that, guys. Let's raise a drink.
Well, the drink. Now that you mention it, the drink of the day is actually a nom 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 mead.
Om nom nom.
Om nom nom mead from Sap House Meadery. Oatmeal raisin cookie mead.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of their sweeter ones, but it's also, what's the percentage on this guy? I don't see it listed here. This is
12.
12. There it is. They're just hiding it amongst the cookies and the words.
So we're doing a light one today.
Light-ish. This one's been sitting around for a little while, but you know, I'm sure we'll still enjoy it. Hey, while we're getting these glasses poured, let's not forget to thank our listeners. You guys have been here for 300-ish episodes.
I'm happy.
We hope you're going to be here for another 300-ish more.
Yes.
It's great that we are getting out to more and more people. Like, I get to see, you know, a snapshot of the numbers every week. And, you know, the numbers we get on podcasts are notoriously hard to track because, like, all these podcast providers we go through, we've done the whole list before with Apple and Spotify and all these places that you can subscribe to our podcasts on and just get added very quickly. They will cache the
actual
download
numbers.
And they'll let you re-download from them. So it's really hard to see like how many people are actually downloading from each source and how many are downloading from each cache and things like that. But we know the number is steadily growing, which is great, which is
exactly what we do this for.
Right. Yeah. No, we are grateful for that. And you know, anything you guys can do on your side, whether it's subscribing or liking or, you know, rating us on the platform of your choice or
telling your friends.
Yeah, exactly. Anything you can do to help spread the word.
Eternally grateful. Yeah,
no, we cannot say thank you enough. And on the topic of thank you, we need to talk about the drawing from last week.
Yeah, the drawing.
We have a copy of Ken Schramm's The Complete Mead Maker and a copy of The Flavor Bible that are available for you guys. We will keep this drawing going until Christmas. You have until Christmas to enter. All you need to do to enter, real simple, is send an email to info@themeadhouse.com. Put Ken in the subject line if you want to get the
Ken Schramm's The Complete Mead Maker.
Or Flavor in the subject line if you want a copy of the Flavor Bible. Both of these are great for a new mead maker. The Flavor Bible might even be really, you know, useful for a continuing mead maker like myself that's been here for a while and been doing my thing. Like I said, I've been referencing this all the damn time, not only for mead making, but for baking and cooking and things like that, just to see, hey, I got this weird thing at the XYZ store the other day. What can I do with it?
And the Food Bible is very, very concise. It gives you some surprising additions to make things better. Mm-hmm. Like when my son made his sarsaparilla mead once upon a time, they said, add lemon. So he's starting to do that now because give it a try.
Right. Yeah. The other people, of course, that we need to thank, though, are
Boxes and Barleycorn.
They've been our sponsor for damn near a year now.
Yeah.
And it's been great working with them. They ask so little of us. They provide for us. And, you know, what do we provide? A discount code for you guys.
MPH10. MHP10.
Don't listen to my co-host. It usually gets it right. It's MHP10. For 10% off your... You can find the link to their store in the show notes, along with the discount code, so you don't have to worry about Chris getting it right or wrong.
And I'll show myself out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it was a good run while it lasted, buddy.
It was. Well, you guys... Every once in a while, you gotta start from scratch, get better at it. Okay.
No, their prices are already competitive. We give you a 10% discount just for thanking you for listening and thanking, you know, them for supporting the show. But they have so much, and they are such a fixture of the homebrew community that it's great working with them. Jake and his buddies are happy to provide, whether it's equipment or ingredients or supplies or just information or help. They are a kind of your one-stop shop, as well they need to be, to, you know, really provide for the homebrew community. They've been in business for, what, going on 58 years now, I think?
Yeah.
And here's hoping they're around a lot longer.
Yeah, another 50, 60 years would not break my heart.
Right. A fixture to the community for sure. But hey, back to Om Nom Nom. We are looking at some filled glasses here. This is a nice kind of tawny brown color.
Very dark. Can you see through it? You can see some light through it.
Yeah, I mean, if you hold it up to the light, you can see through it, but it is fairly dark.
Oh, it smells sweet.
It has a sweet, and I get a little bit of the kind of that, yeah, the oaky flavor.
The brown sugar right there. For sure.
Maybe a little raisin, but it's mostly like, yeah, brown sugar alcohol on the nose. And
but I don't smell the honey. I smell the other sugars, but
Oh, but you taste the honey. Give that a taste.
You do taste that. That's
It's sweet honey. It's raisin. There's a little bit of the oat, especially on the aftertaste. And yeah.
It's an oatmeal raisin cookie. I mean, it really is.
Like I told you, dude, this is as close as you can get to tasting like an oatmeal raisin cookie and being an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah, I'll be honest, the blueberry cherry, still top of my list right now.
Last week's blueberry cherry was pretty damn good.
This is really nice, though.
Yeah, and, you know, we are getting into that, hey, it's Christmas time. It's, well, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're in that holiday sweet baking, and oatmeal raisin just sounded right up that alley.
Right.
This is kind of hitting all the chords, bud. You know?
It really is. Good. All right.
I think that kind of plays nicely with what we're going to talk about today, which is Polish meads.
Polish meads. Now, this is something we've touched on a little bit before.
A little bit. And I mean, like, we'll get into the whys and the hows, but we can't really give you all the secrets and all the information, because there's a lot of this that is kind of proprietary and old family secrets in the nature. And just the way they make mead in Poland is going to be different than the way we make mead in, you know, the U.S., even as homebrewers, let alone, I don't know that there are meaderies in the U.S. doing a Polish-style mead on release. If there are, I mean, I might have seen them at, like, Valkyries or Mazer Cup as, like, stuff that I judged in the commercial.
The last order at Valkyries, there was a Polish, okay, it wasn't labeled a Polish style. Okay. I don't know if it was amateur or professional mead, but you said it was markedly Polish in taste.
Yes. There was a commercial mead that I judged in the commercial side that was markedly Polish in taste and style, and they should have specified it was a Polish mead instead of like a cherry or something like that. The thing was, it was made in Poland.
Ah, well, okay. So
I don't think that counts.
Well, you know, they didn't put that on the form that I was supposed to give you, so...
Right, yeah, so I didn't realize it was a Polish mead. I was not judging it as a Polish mead, I was judging it as a cherry, and there were a lot of character points that, if I had realized this was the Polish style, I probably would have judged it differently.
Maybe gave them a point or two more?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that was the last, most recent?
It was okay. The most recent.
Okay.
And actually, you know, we're looking at, you know, 2 months out from the next one, man.
That's true. We need to probably start looking at, you know, getting our reservations made and things like that. Because, I mean, I'm not slowing down on Valkyries.
I'm going back.
It's, you know, here's the thing. Valkyries Horn, it's two states away, but it's also like 5.5, 6 hours away.
Yeah.
Versus like, Mazer Cup for the longest time was in Denver.
Yeah.
Which is one state away. If you don't count the Kansas-Missouri border. In But it's 10 hours.
Yeah, that's 10 hours away, yeah.
Through Kansas on I-70. Like, you could fall asleep and not hit anything because there's just nothing there and the road is straight.
That's where they test the auto-drive cars because there's nothing to hit anyway.
That's why they keep actually hitting people in Austin.
Probably.
I didn't say that.
No, not me. Anyway, but no, but Actually, this coming year, I have a couple ideas I'd like to talk to you outside the podcast here,
Sure, yeah.
because I've just, started thinking about how we can do more, because this is kind of fun.
Well, and we've talked about adding call-ins and things like that, and getting a third voice in some of these episodes just to get some points. And if we added a little extra time, we could probably sideline some people, get some actual interviews in person, face to face, and that'd be nice too.
And then maybe visit some quote unquote nearby meteries.
Right. I mean, I'm sure we've talked about visiting White Bear a time or two, and there are a couple other meteries out there. It wouldn't be out of our way to do that. So it's kind of one of those, let's see, that's one of those things we're going to have to plan and let you guys know, hey, we've got some plans in the works.
All right. Now, I don't know a lot about Polish meats. I know they're a strong, they have a stronger flavor profile because you let me try that one that you at Valkyrie. And I thought I was going to lose a tooth because it shocked me so much.
They are, in general, they tend to be very sweet. They tend to be very, they are not a quick thing to make. They
Okay.
tend to be a long aged process. And the way that they are categorized is basically like a parts to honey to water, so, sort of a thing.
Okay.
So the lowest one, and I apologize to any Polish speakers or Polish nationals at my 2 years of college Polish that is going to murder your language now as I attempt to read some of these names. The weakest of these Polish ones that you typically hear about is called a czorniak, which is generally like one part honey to three parts water.
Okay.
Or sometimes you'll hear about a tryniak, which is one part honey to two parts water.
Okay. That's pretty strong.
We're already at a point where we're talking about a lot more honey than we put into a mead, generally, that we're making,
Even
right?
our even my 12 to 14s aren't generally this much honey.
Right. And this is where there is a level of doubt coming into my mind,
Okay.
because if you're putting that much honey into a mead and you're fermenting it, granted, we will talk about some of the parts of this and the moving parts here, but how is this not like candy sweet syrup instead of a drinkable beverage,
Yeah,
right?
because when I drank, it was drinkable. It
Right.
kind of shocked me, yeah, but it was not unpleasant.
Right. It is sweet. It has some sherry agent to it. Those are all very characteristic of a Polish mead, but it's not like, if you dilute honey with twice as much water,
Yeah.
you're going to get something fairly thick.
Yeah.
It will not ferment by itself. And that's not even going to like the dwojniak, which is one part honey to one part water.
That's how, what yeast will ferment that?
Nothing. Or the highest of the highest, półtorak, pół from half, versus which is two parts honey to one part water.
This ferments somehow?
And here's the trick. Here's the main thing about Polish meads from people that have made Polish meads or Polish style meads, because we're going to talk about one that I'm making now,
Okay.
but it's not authentically Polish because I don't know how to make authentically Polish stuff, so I'm making stuff in the Polish style. One of the characteristics of Polish style meads is that they are long aged. Another is they include a lot of honey. One of the things that a lot of people that have made Polish style meads will tell you, though, is that you don't add it all at once. You have to step feed.
Okay, that makes more
Right.
sense.
And so
So are you're keeping the honey to water content to a fermentable level, but you keep adding more honey as it goes on.
correct, yes.
Okay,
It makes a lot more sense now,
yeah,
doesn't
now it does. Okay, you couldn't have seen this on this podcast, but I sat up straighter when I'm sitting here. Okay, you can't possibly, I'm thinking you can't possibly ferment this until he said this, and I'm saying, okay, now I'm paying attention.
Right, yeah, no, he the posture and the size of his eye has changed markedly
Yeah.
in, oh, there was a moment of realization and okay, now I follow you.
Yeah.
Now I understand what's going on. So yeah, I'm not sure how accurate any of these ratios are really. If I were going to do this, I would use the ratios as a rough guide and say, okay, well, If we're gonna make an 18% mead, and granted, I would think the how much honey to how much water also includes back sweetening, right?
You would almost have to.
So I know there are
I mean, the stuff that you're making and what you told me about so far, I can't imagine it's just the fermentation process.
No. And generally speaking, from the Polish meads that I've tried at competition, two or three of them anyway, they have generally been fairly sweet, not like cloyingly sweet to the point where I don't like it, or that I think it's just overdone, but fairly sweet. Like on the order of the Om Nom Nom we're drinking right
Yeah,
now,
this
which
is very sweet.
this is fairly, it's not, offensively sweet,
No, it's not offensively at all, but
but it is fairly
you're trying
sweet.
for a sweet cookie, and they're
Yeah,
not it.
this is a dessert meat. That is. And, sweet is the order of the day. And it's fine. It plays nicely in that level. Now, Polish meats are in that same idea of, I think this is a, something like a port or a cordial, where there is a level of sweetness associated with it, not all the time in port, but sometimes. And it is a little thicker of body. It is a little bit more substantial. And so that, I think, is what they're going for with this Polish style. What I would try to do, what I will talk about with my apple and Boucher honey kind of mix later, is in the style but not quite authentic. I don't know that I can be authentic, because a lot of these, bear in mind, Poland is one of the few places that has a continuous like history of making mead, but it's not like a widely known thing. A lot of this is, the same family is doing it over and over again, and some of this is proprietary family secrets or company secrets.
I have a quick question because
Yeah.
my mead maker mic kicked in here. Since you're adding honey, you're parting into the honey
Yes.
as it ferments. Are you doing that also with the nutrients? Is it parted in as well?
You would almost have to, yes.
Okay.
And so there are a couple different ideas of how to handle this. I think that's a great question, and I think it's a great kind of segue into, well, how do we do these high ABV meads and make it taste good? Because some of these, like the Półtorak, we're talking about easy 18%, 16 to 20.
Easy. It'd be hard to miss it.
Right. And the classic Lalvin yeast we're using cap out at 18.
Yeah, it can't. Don't it? If you're lucky, it may get to 18 and a half.
Right. So some of them you can push to 19 if you've got, your good nutrient, you treat them right, you be a good yeast farmer, you can.
Nice symphonic music playing around
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
Bride of the Valkyries. Blah, 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 blah,
Okay.
blah. I love the smell of nutrient in the morning. No, you can, if you treat your yeast right, you keep everything good, you can push an extra percent, maybe a percent and a half easily. But
That's still
still,
19 and a half.
right, that's not the 16 to 20% that we're thinking of for Polish meats. There are secrets there that we'll talk about in a little bit. But the other thing to think about is it going to taste good? Because when you get to that 18% with, a EC1118 or K1B116, you get hot alcohol more often than not, because it's
That throws bad esters.
that's a lot of alcohol, even if it's not estuary. So there are a couple different approaches. There are people taking the approach that I'm doing, which is using a single yeast and a fairly substantial load of honey up front. I'm obviously going to use nutrient. We'll talk about. Sorry, guys, I keep digressing into the mead we're going to talk about later. We'll talk about it later, though.
I'll try to keep them on track,
Right.
guys.
So basically, I'm trying to do a single standard ferment with a little extra added towards the end, and then some back sweetening. Just for simplicity's sake, more than anything else, there are some people that will do fermentation in stages. And this is something you have to be a little bit careful of, because there is that kill factor in different yeast. But there are a number of people that have tried this by saying, okay, we're going to do a 12% up front and do the bulk of the honey there. And then we're going to rack off the yeast cake onto a different yeast, and we're going to do another 3 to 5% ABV on that one. And then we're going to finish it on a third yeast that's going to get us the last few percent and basically play cleanup crew. There are all kinds of different strategies. You can go deep dive into this if you go through the right
So
rabbit
are you talking
holes.
about fortifying your own mead with more mead?
No, we're talking about moving the bulk of the body of the mead from one yeast strain to another and adding honey as we go.
Okay, so
So first ferment, we'll go ferment dry at 12%,
okay,
right?
got it.
And then we'll move to a different container. We'll add
Different yeast.
honey and different yeast.
Okay.
And we'll get another 3 to 5% there. And then we'll move to a third container and do like another 1 or 2% with a different honey, a little extra yeast, and that third yeast strain will kind of play cleanup crew for all the esters and the long chain proteins and crap like that the previous yeasts have thrown out. I don't have all the data on this off the top of my head. This is something that someone way more involved and way more willing to go through this stuff than I am went through, but it's out there. You can look for it.
Gotcha.
It seems like a lot of work for what I want to do.
Yeah,
But
but okay.
the other thing we need to be aware of here is that laws in Poland and making alcohol are different than laws in America. They are allowed to fortify to an extent and still call it a wine product or a mead product.
Okay, you've already mentioned 16-20%. How high can this go before it stops being mead?
I don't know what the ABV on common Polish meads are because oh my God, it's been almost 20 years since I was in Poland. But yeah, no. Generally speaking, from what I've understood, a lot of the Polish meads are in that 16 to 18% ABV. Some of them might go a little higher. Point being, you don't have to get this just from fermentation. A number of Polish mead makers have the ability. I'm not saying they do, but they could fortify with stronger spirits, whether that's like a mead-based spirit that they've distilled, or straight up like ethyl alcohol from wheat or grain or sugar that they've distilled to like a moonshine level, or like not ethanol, Everclear level spirit.
Okay.
And they just added a little bit of it to bump the alcohol content. And by bumping the alcohol content, you also bump the preservative quality of the mead and allow it to age a little bit better too.
I've heard, now correct me if I'm wrong, I've heard the aging of mead after like 2 to 3 years, you're pretty much done.
Depends. A lot of the Polish meads are long-term barrel aged.
Okay.
And from a mead making in our standpoint, with the common ingredients we use, honey and fruit and maybe grains for a braggot or spices for a metheglin, the content there, it's not going to get better after a couple of years. For Polish meads, what they're doing in a barrel is more in the aim of like a whiskey or an aged spirit, where the micro oxidization that occurs through the very tiny pores in the barrel will change over time. That micro oxidization, those sherry flavors, are one of those characteristic parts of the Polish mead. And so, yeah,
And
no,
I
you're.
remember tasting the sherry quality in the one you have a try.
Yeah, it's kind of a textbook character of those is that, yeah, no, they have that character from sitting in a barrel for a very long time. You get some oxidization in there that changes the way the fruit and the flavor profile tastes according to that. There is an apocryphal sort of saying that Polish mead makers make mead for their grandchildren or something along those lines.
Okay.
There's an expectation that it's going to be aged for quite a while. Oh yeah, your AI overview over here says 4 to 10 years. And oh, the Półtorak is 5 to 10. That's the half ratio.
Yeah, but some higher quality versions can be 10 to 15 to 20 years.
Now, and I imagine there is much like production of whiskey, it's not a case of like, okay, we're gonna pour 55 gallons of whiskey into this barrel and then take it out and put it in bottles 10 years later. There is blending and there is back aging, and we've got some stuff that's been in a barrel for 2 years. We're going to blend that with some stuff that's been in a barrel for 15, and we're going to call it 2, but it's.
Okay, well, be honest, because I don't trust AI as much as people would like me to,
Rightfully so.
I did look up an actual article here. A Polish meat tips from the 2018 Mead Maker of the Year. He said 14 years ago he started, But it doesn't, I haven't found out when he, how long he aged.
So yeah, no, this is Michael Wilcox. He's actually a member of I want to say Casey Beermeisters, one of the bigger homebrew clubs right here in Kansas City, even though he's from Wichita.
Oh, he's imported.
I don't know what the homebrew scene in Wichita looked like, but you know, he good dude. I got to meet him briefly at I think the last time I went to Mazer Cup. But that's him, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I met him. I've seen this man. I don't know where I've seen him, but I've seen him. It could have been when I went to the competition, the only competition I've done here in KC.
Could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that might have been a Beermeister's competition, or he might have been recruited to it.
It was the
Wouldn't
beer master
surprise me.
competition for mead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I seen him. I didn't know who he was. But yeah.
No, he and Carvin collaborate on a bunch of stuff. So they're him and Carvin, and I think Scott Char, I've seen collaborate on a couple different cool things. But yeah, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Regardless, there are a bunch of different, like, basically at the end of the day, a lot of this is because we can't know the ins and outs of every Polish family vineyard doing every different approach to this. We're kind of guessing, and we're kind of taking our own stabs at this.
Okay.
And yeah, no, some people will do a three-stage fermentation to get to that higher ABV, and some people will do a single stage and maybe fortify it with a little bit of something later, to get to the final ABV. And some people will hew to the Polish name implied ratios of 3 to 1 or 2 to 1 or, you know, 2 to 1/2 water, 2 parts honey, what have you. The end of the day, we're not making Polish mead because we're not in Poland, but we're making a Polish style mead, which I think has a few different features that I think we can all agree on, and that we can say, oh, okay, so these are common features that will give us what we're looking for here.
Before you start this, I have a quick question that came up when you were saying that. When you fortify the mead, what do you fortify it with? The whiskey, brandy, white liqueur? Is it a standard? Is there a standard?
There is no standard. There is
Okay.
there. This could be more of a like the this could be a spirit like a high strength ABV fortified wine like they're doing with port. This could be more of a like an Everclear kind of a thing, or it could be a whiskey. Probably not something oak aged in and of itself because there's so much age going into the mead by
Okay.
itself. Speculation on my part. I could be way wrong.
There's no standard for the fortification, just what flavors you want out of
Right. And
it.
what ABV you're trying to reach. I mean, they may have a very smooth, very high ABV, like 90 to 98% Everclear-ish kind of a spirit that they're just adding, you know, 1 to 20 ratio on to bump it to that extra 1%, right?
Okay, gotcha.
I don't know.
Okay.
Like if I were making a really, really Polish style mead, and I still might,
Yeah.
and for those of you who want a deep cut on Polish alcohol, there is an alcohol called Zubrowka.
I've heard you mention this. I don't know a thing about it, though.
Zubrowka is basically it's vodka, but it's flavored with what they call bison grass, or what in the United States is one of several things called sweet grass.
Okay.
I don't remember the taxonomical name for it, but the translation from Latin of the taxonomical name was basically like the grass placed in front of temples,
Okay.
because literally in a long ago usage time, they would place cuttings of this grass in front of temples so that as you left the temple, you would step on it and it smelled sweet. It has a very unique flavor to it that is really goddamn pleasant for drinking straight vodka. And if you go to Poland and buy Zubrowka, you get a single strand of bison grass in every bottle.
Okay.
It's pretty.
That's
And
cool.
generally, the labels also have like the bison on it as well. And so, if I were going to fortify it with anything, I would probably fortify it with a little Zubrowka and probably use some of the sweet grass. I don't know if that's the approach I'm going to take. That's kind of something that I just came up with as I was talking here with you right now,
Okay.
but now it's on the table.
Okay. Well, yeah, we do that a lot.
It happens.
You said steps for step
Right.
one. When were you telling you want to do these steps?
No, I was talking about characteristics.
Characteristics. You
The
had these
characteristics
characteristics.
of Polish style meat. So it's got to be relatively high ABV.
Okay.
It's got to be some level of aged. And generally, I would think aged on oak, but that age could come across as part of the I want to say that oxidization sherry note that could come across as more just a deep oaky flavor. I think in my case, I'm going to go for both. Those are the two big ones. And then I think generally we need a sweet-ish finish just to further emphasize the presence of that honey. So that's kind of where I'm at. A lot of Polish meats will also include a level of fruit and/or spices, usually both. Popular ones are like raspberries, and honey character can also be important here, though I'm not particularly taking that tract. I could be wrong, but there are two varieties of buckwheat honey we can find in the US, Eastern and Western. I want to say Eastern is the less foully pungent of the
Okay.
variety. I could be wrong. Whatever the less
Pungent.
barnyardy, nasty variety of the two, I've seen a lot of people using that to make a Polish honey because it has that. Even though it's not like it doesn't taste like you licked the inside of a horse's saddle,
Oh, God, that just sounds horrible.
it doesn't have that characteristic taste to it, but it has a little bit of a, it's strong, it's
Okay.
potent, and it's got a good flavor that a lot of people that are imitating the Polish style will go for. In a small amount, generally they're using between 10 and 30% of their total honey like build. It wouldn't surprise me if that's kind of the latter, the back sweetening stuff, just to preserve some of that
Okay.
characteristic honey. Other fruits that are really popular are like cherries. I don't know how popular apple is, but
Okay,
generally
you
it's
said you talked about raspberries and cherries. Those are very distinct flavorings, and apple
and
is, although distinct, subtle.
yeah,
It's a little
it's
below key.
more subtle. So I'm not sure how much this is going to play. By the same token, I don't know if you're familiar with like the Dansk Mjød brand. They're behind like Chaucer's and some of the other like very, what I want to say, more mass market available meats. They're kind of up there, but they are not like a traditional mead. They tend to be in the same kind of idea as a Polish mead in that they taste a little more strong alcoholically,
Okay.
characteristically. They tend to have a little bit more of an age quality to them, whether that's more of a just a blend of the fruit and the spices and stuff going into it, possibly including raisins and things like that, it may be characteristic of the fermentation and the aging, or just maybe an added flavor addition. I'm not sure how the Dansk Mjød guys do their thing, but it is the closest I can really point to my finger on a mass market American and commonly available at that like product that you can say, okay, that's about as close as we can get to Dan to Polish style mead
Okay.
easily. Where was I going with that?
Well, we're working our way. Okay, you're talking about characteristics,
Right.
and we're working our way through that list so we can start hitting up your
Yeah.
meat and what you're doing
The
there.
Dansk Mjød, for example, has cranberries in it, I think,
Okay.
or at least one variation of it. There are at least three. Some of them do have apple.
Okay.
One of the varieties does have apple. Most of them have a fairly complex spice profile as well, and one of them includes hops of all things,
Of course
which,
it does.
yeah, well.
I don't play them. Just, that just means, oh, darn, it's another one I can't
I'll let you sip mine, buddy. I'll let you sip mine.
have. Okay, appreciate it.
But anyway, yeah, there are a number of common characteristics that we're calling Polish style or, approaching Polish style. And I think, to be honest, the understanding of Polish style, even for judges, in meat competitions here is a little fuzzy. Like anecdotally, I heard a number of years ago that Alboys had, I think it was Al. It could have been somebody else, but I think it was Al. This was, again, years and years ago, and this is filtered through a memory of a lot of hazy drinking over a number of episodes. But he basically, you know, when you empty or when you transfer from primary to secondary, you have that layer of trub and a little bit of, it's mead basically, but it's not like there's a little liquid involved with all the solid stuff. Anecdotally, if I remember right, he did an entire year's worth of the leftovers and just put it all in a container, and towards the end of the year, took the liquid part of that off the solid part of that. Maybe back sweetened it and stabilized and all that, entered it and got pretty high marks for making a Polish style meat.
I'm not doing that.
Like, I mean, if we want to save every drop, it's one way to do it.
There's one way to do it.
I'm not sure I want to do that. I'm not sure some of the stuff that I'm putting together will be compatible in that way and make a good mead in general. But
If you want to.
that's that kind of idea. And there are a number of people that will do what's essentially like a surly aging, where you let the mead sit on the lees for a while and get some of the bitter components of the autolyzation of yeast cells as the yeast basically cannibalizes itself to, progress itself. There are some people that take that strategy. There's a number of strategies out there. This is kind of a deep and ambiguous well to go through, on the trying to imitate a style that is a little bit hush hush. The big as the American Meat Makers Association and like the Maser Cup organization are, some of the guys in Poland these days have a huge competition and like a huge conference they're doing that I would love to attend. I just can't really afford to take the time and
Go
money
to
to,
Poland.
right? Yeah. There's a reason it's been like 20 years since I've been to Poland. That, and every time I go to Poland, I seem to get arrested or nearly arrested.
You haven't been arrested, you're nearly arrested.
Right. I've had interactions with police officers or airport security that was,
Questionable?
yeah,
Okay.
and by no fault of my own.
Of course not, never is.
Hey, I've had interactions with police officers that were totally my fault, in this country and others. In Poland, no.
I'll take your word for it. I'm not mad. Anyway, so let's talk about yours.
Right. So a few weeks ago, not related to the episode, but by the way, have you heard from Lewisburg yet about us?
Have not. I will
Yeah.
call them
Yeah.
as soon as I finish this up with you. I'll give them the call this first day of the week.
Let's prod them a little bit and see what's going on with that. Because I would love to, get some face time with their, brewers and stuff like that. But we'll probably cut this from the episode anyway. A few weeks ago, we went and just did fall stuff
We
at
had fun at
Lewisburg
the
Cider Mill.
loose percent, but we had a great festival there.
And
They were
I,
making a mountain of cider with from a huge mountain of
oh yeah,
apples.
no, I told you that cider press is huge.
The pile of apples I had being washed to go into the cider press was taller than anybody, was taller, twice as tall as anybody there.
Right. Not to mention the like 16 other forklifty size containers of apples being ready to dump on that pile whenever they were needed.
And they went through that probably in that week.
Oh, for sure.
And that was,
If not that weekend.
it was unbelievable amount of cider they're building, but and you picked up some.
I'm willing to bet that that cider pressing process doesn't leave as soon as the public is allowed to enter and leave. But no, I went home with about 4 gallons of cider, with 4 gallons of cider in a box, because it was the easiest and most convenient way for me to handle it without like getting a cart and being obnoxious going through their little store. So
I was considering it, so you weren't completely out of line there.
there were plenty of people with carts. I just didn't want to be one of them.
Okay, fair enough.
So I've been since then Took a couple weeks. Oh, what do I want to do? What kind of honey do I want to use with this? Do I want to get more honey? Not really. It's we're getting into Christmas. My money should be spent on gifts for my family and things like that. So I don't want to go spend $200 on another barrel of honey that when I've already got two or three barrels and then some bags and other sources. Hey, I've got this melter honey from Gardner Bees out in Minnesota, and I've used a little of that, like in the beer that we've been talking about, been long aging and will probably be ready in another couple months, hopefully, maybe.
Hopefully. You see, it looks like you started a 3 gallon batch.
I used about 2.5 gallons of the cider for this batch,
Okay.
and a fairly substantial amount of that melter honey. I don't measure by volume, I measure by initial gravity. My initial gravity in this case, so the cider by itself was about 1055,
Okay.
which is not small. That's a solid, I forget exactly the ratios there, but I want to say that's in, yeah, that's almost 7%.
Yeah.
If you go like straight to zero, I'm sorry, straight to one, I should say, 10000.
Yeah, a little over 7% there.
So not a low amount of sugar in the first place.
No,
To
but you're also on
that,
the light end of this.
right. To that, I added melter honey, and I was targeting 1125. What I actually ended up with was 1122. And I kind of looked at that and said, good enough, especially if I'm going to go step feed a little more later.
Yeah, right now the 1122, you're looking at 16.
Right. Now, my yeast in this case, this is kind of the flaw in my plan because I used a yeast I've never used before.
Okay.
I used the Mangrove Jack's M05, I think it is. It's the basic mead yeast that they have. When I was working at Bacchus, they never really carried the Mangrove Jack stuff. They've started carrying it since Jake and them took over. And I've heard good things. I've just never used it because it's not been available. And I'm trying not to buy from Amazon when it comes to my brewing supplies and stuff like that. So.
But you did tell me when you start, it's already active.
Right.
And you pitched it like 20 minutes before I got here?
So,
Not long.
yeah, no, we kind of farted around and took our time getting set down and going through like what we're going to talk about and just catching up like friends do. But we're already getting, I'm not seeing bubbles per se, but there is enough CO2 to lift the inner part of the 3-part airlock up and create a little bit of a bubble. So we're going to see bubbling soon. And what, 2 hours tops?
Yeah, the
Tops?
tops.
Including the time we've been recording. So yeah, no, if nothing else, it picks up fast. It has a reputation for being fairly clean fermenting, for being a pretty good flocculator, so you get a nice solid yeast cake at the bottom, for being alcohol tolerant to 18%, which is kind of what I'm going for, because I'm not going to do a big step feed where I'm going to do, 15 and 12, or
Oh,
sorry,
to be
12
honest,
and
you don't have
16.
much room left in the jug there. You can't do a lot of step feed there.
If I transfer off of the lees,
Okay, fair.
then it's going to give me some more space, but we'll see. Am I going to take it above 16%? Oh, maybe, maybe not.
Okay.
And how I get there is kind of another one of those. How do I want to get there? Maybe I'm going to fortify it with some Applejack.
I've got a bottle of that if you need it.
I had a bottle of that, but then I drank it. So
I've got one you can use. So if that's what you want to go with, let me know.
I may buy another bottle to use that and drink with the rest. I may leave it at 16%, call that good, and do the long oak aging. I think at the very least, I have been using a mixture of American and Hungarian oak in the beer, and we're still at early phases of that, so to speak. I'm still adding more to get the level of oakiness I want in my oak aged wheat wine beer, but I like the flavor profile of that. I'm going to try and feed
Do it
that out.
again.
Just kind of see. I might lean more on the Hungarian side, which is a little bit more spicy and more rounded, versus American oak tends to be very vanilla forward. So, but that's kind of the plan, is that we're going to do fairly high alcohol. We're going to do oak aging. There may be spices that I have not decided on yet. There may be fortification. I've not decided on that yet. But my plan is that we're going to let this sit for quite a while. After the fermentation is done, I'm going to move this to a closed container and basically let it sit for at least until this time next year.
Yeah, my next question was going to be, how long are you going to let it age? I mean, I will generally let my meats age 8, 9 months, 8, 10 months maybe,
Now,
before I want to really dig into them.
for me, I'm generally not that patient. I'm not willing to wait that long. In 2 to 3 months, I'm of an opinion that if it's not as good as it's going to get, it's as good as I want it to get.
Fair enough.
And if it's not as good as I want it to get, just try something else.
Well, I'll be honest. One of the reasons I like making a lot of different kinds of meat, I can pick and choose as it's getting to that 8 month mark, and just enjoy the trip a little bit before I really dig in. So.
Sure. There is something to be said for getting to appreciate the evolution of that flavor too. That is, yeah, I will 100% agree there. Generally, I'm not a patient person when it comes to long-term aging, but in this case, I'm going to force myself to be because, I'm trying different things.
Yes,
And
gotcha.
I've been wanting to try something Polish-ish. Polish-ish.
Polish style. Polish-ish-ish.
Polish-ish-ish-ish-ish-ish-ish-ish-ish-ish. For a 12%, I'm feeling this.
You're feeling this. Okay. Well, I'm not going to lie. I am too, but
Maybe I.
I'm num num.
Anyway, I'm going to force myself to be a little patient with this one and let it evolve. Kind of, I'm not really planning on making decisions as far as a spice profile or fortification or any of the secondary steps until I get a pretty solid out of primary with this one.
Okay.
So, like I said, I threw this together. I finished throwing this together maybe 20 minutes before you got here today. And it's at this point, it's honey, it's water, it's yeast. I'm not even planning on s starting to feed nutrient until tomorrow.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, no, I figure it will be the new year before I make decisions as far as what kind of secondary flavors I'm adding to this, and it will be very much a taste thing. The honey that I used is not buckwheat. I might end up sourcing some buckwheat to try and stay closer to that style, for more of that like secondary and or back sweetening stuff. But for the most part, I used Melter's honey from Gardner Bees. This is the stuff that is left over from like the cappings and the separation of the caps from the cells when
They
it is
just bent.
harvesting honey. And so like here I'll show you the stuff it is.
Okay, well, while you're grabbing that, let me ask, I have a couple questions for you. One, what player profile is your goal?
So I would like some level of apple. I'm open to some level of sherry flavor and or some level of like a raisin flavor.
Okay.
More of a like an aged characteristic than anything else. And apologies to listeners at home as I open a honey bucket right in front of the microphone.
Well, we're limited on space right now, so
Sound effects.
down to it. Yeah.
But
Wow.
that is
That's a dart, honey.
basically it is Bochet, pre-Bochet, and you can get a a little sample there.
Okay, that's very deep, honey. That's really good. But okay. And okay, you've had Polish meats before and had a few of them I'm aware of.
Just a few, yes.
What was your favorite? And what was the flavor characteristics of that?
That is tough. Because any time that I've had Polish meats has been in a competition. So inevitably, I tasted at least 18 other meats that day.
Fair enough. Okay, so you're more like this, the flavors you mentioned
Right.
is what you're going for, is kind of the flavors that you picture this being, like the
I
style of.
yes, and I envision the apple flavor here being less like crisp, bright apple and maybe more like apple butter.
Okay, I'm a fan there.
A
You
little
you've got my attention right now.
kind of that cooked apple along with the Melter honey. Is it apple caramel? Is it like apple butter and Molasses, it's in that spectrum
Okay.
somewhere.
Fair enough.
As far as other flavors, as far as other stuff, I'm not 100% sure. I like the idea of adding. Let me rephrase. I want the honey and the apple to be the forward, like primary, secondary notes.
Okay.
I'm open to other ancillary notes just for interest, but I don't want them to overtake anything.
Okay, so go and put that in your note sheet and see we can how close you can get, man.
So, we talked a little while ago, was it last week, about, like more. No, it's 2 weeks ago. We talked about ginger and some of the other, kind of Christmassy notes. And my thought is that this will be ready for,
Next Christmas.
right, basically.
Yeah, 2026.
So,
Yeah, we actually do plan this far ahead, guys. We'll look a year ahead.
apple plays nicely with ginger. It plays, I think, fairly okay with kind of the caramely notes here and the raisin and stuff like that. So, would some ginger go amiss? Yeah, not at all. Sweetgrass, I mentioned before, that could be interesting. That's a light flavor compared to the honey and the, the.
We have to figure a source for that, though. That's
Yeah, the last time I tried buying sweetgrass online, I thought I was buying one variety of sweetgrass, and it turned out to be the other. Because there's another variety of sweetgrass used, what do I want to say, by Indigenous American communities and some of the more woo-woo communities, as similarly to white sage is used for smudging and things like
Okay,
that,
gotcha.
like ceremonial usage.
Yep, gotcha. Okay, well, see what I will ask you about it periodically and see where we're at. I mean, for the next, what, 2 to 3 months, there's nothing to really report. I get that.
Right. Now, the closest I'll have to report is, well, it moved to secondary.
Yeah, and until after you finish that part of it, I mean, there's no tasting going to happen.
Right. So, guys, I'm sorry if there was a little bit of vagueness to this one. It feels like we are grasping at straws trying to get a style right here. And some people have maybe more on the nose as far as like how to get a Polish style mead than I have been.
But this is why we do what we do, guys.
Right. And I'm not trying to perfectly imitate the Polish meads that I've had.
Because we won't.
No, there's a I'm just not patient enough to age a mead for 10 years in the hope that my children enjoy it, because
Greedy like that.
right, I tease my kid about drinking once in a while, and he's like, "No, I don't want to." I'm
Yeah,
like, "Good."
keep that.
I don't tell him good. I say, "Oh, okay," and act like, it doesn't bother me or anything. But secretly, I'm screaming for joy and cheering, and hoping that lasts in, through his entire teen years. Because, oh my God,
Because
you know that gypsy curse? May you have children exactly
like
like you are.
you,
Oh, if I can dodge that bullet,
yeah.
man. And on that note, hey, cheers, buddy. Let's wrap this up here, and we'll
Happy
see you guys
meeting you
next week.
all. Take care.